Wow, that was amazing. We have actually made it up into the mountains. The relief on landing, I must say, was really significant. I may have welled up a little bit. By about 6:37-ish, we were ready to board our tiny little plane up to Lukla, and amazingly survived it, managed to actually really enjoy the flight. As you come up out of Kathmandu, we were kind of ascending over, like through some quite thick cloud, and then you sort of pop out the top, and then looking over to the left, you get this blanket of cloud below you, and then a higher blanket of cloud above you, but looking straight through, you can see the white mountains, which just look so colossally big, something quite different to looking at mountains in the Alps or anywhere else that I've seen before. As you get closer to the hills, the flight takes you over all of these ridges which are green and covered in vegetation, and then you pop over one ridge and then you can see Lukla Airport straight in front of you. The runway itself goes quite uphill because it's such a short runway, and it does look like there's a significant drop off below the end of the runway. They put the brakes on pretty quickly and managed to get us into the airport terminal, and then before you know it, you're off the plane and ready to go. At the same time as you're getting off, the passengers to get back on are already queuing up, and they literally just swap. And as we were standing on the tarmac, the plane took off with the passengers to go back to Kathmandu. We're about to get our first views of Machemo. We've been following this valley with a river at the bottom for the last 3 or 4 days, and we're sort of clinging to the edge of it up this path that goes between fairly flat and really steep as it goes over ridges. And we're about to come over the last ridge and hopefully get our first view of Machemo, where we're going to be, well, which is going to be home for the next 10 weeks or so. So that was the noise of the axe going past. I'm definitely feeling short of breath.
Yeah,
we're home.
We've got the longest walk of anyone there.
Alright, we've just come over the ridge to our first view of Machemo, and I'm going to try to describe it, although it's a bit tricky. So behind me, there are a couple of massive white mountains, pointy. They look like Everest does when you see photos of it. In front, there's this flat, grassy area which looks like farmland, and there are maybe 7 or 8 buildings there. Creeping up behind those buildings is quite a steep wall of rock, which I think is moraine. So moraine is where glaciers have come down and they've carved out the valley, and on the sides is like the rubble that's left over. So anyway, it's very cool. We're going to go and explore our new home, which I can see in the distance. The lodge is at the end of Machemo. It's the last building up the valley, and it's an L-shaped building with what looks like a green tin roof, lots of windows around it. It looks quite inviting, really. I'm now in the sunroom of the rescue post. It's called the sunroom because it kind of traps the sun, and it turns into a bit of a conservatory when the sun's nicely shining. Kind of corrugated roof that allows some of the sunshine to come through, with lots of wooden struts, timber framed building. The room is panelled with plywood as the insulation, but the actual main structure of the building is kind of wood and stone, made from local stone. There's some benches around the edge with some flowery cushions on top, and there's a table at one side where we eat. And in the centre of the room is the most important part, which is the stove. The stove goes on around 5 o'clock every day. The other thing that's that occurs in this room is the altitude talk. So sometimes it gets completely full with trekkers and guides and porters coming along to hear a bit more about altitude illness and how they can recognise it and prevent it. We've been in Mitchermo now for about 12 days or so. Feel pretty well settled in, and we're really getting into the rhythm and the pace of life here, which at the moment is pretty slow, but I think it's gradually speeding up a little bit. On the day that we arrived, and for the first couple of days, we just spent a little while sorting out the clinic room and sort of getting to know our way around the village, going out to meet the lodge owners to introduce ourselves and just say that the rescue post is opening. And then a couple of days ago, we opened up the second post, which is a bit further up the valley in a place called Gokyo. Down here, we've probably had a total of about 15 patients. Amongst those, we have seen a porter with snow blindness because he didn't have proper sunglasses on. You know, that's the kind of thing that we're here for. We've also seen a porter today with an abscess on his foot, secondary to a leech bite that got infected. So one of my colleagues treated him today by kind of popping the abscess. Lots of pus came out of it, and then she kind of packed it and gave some antibiotics and cleaned it up. We've also seen a couple of trekkers with altitude symptoms. We've seen some locals who have got sort of maybe some kind of cold type symptoms or cough symptoms. Our first patient of the whole season was actually a cow. We were sitting around having our breakfast in the morning at about 7:30, and a farmer, one of the local farmers called Sonam, he knocked on and with reasonable English said that his cow had a sore leg. Basically, there's no vets around here. The farmer had heard that the doctors had just arrived at the rescue post, and thinking that maybe we were a better bet than no treatment at all, he asked us to come and have a look at his cow. So it turned out that the cow had been attacked by a wild animal, possibly a snow leopard. It had a big, nasty gash on the inside of its rear thigh, and it looked really, really sorry for itself. It wasn't weight-bearing very well on its back leg. And with the help of the farmer and us kind of all hands on deck, we held the cow quite firmly and we used some betadine to kind of clean it up, and then we gave it some antibiotics, it was like human antibiotics, which you can give animals. We did check that first of all. So we just crushed up this antibiotic and gave it via a syringe into the mouth. Put a bit of a dressing on the leg to see if that would help at all, try and stem some of the bleeding because it was still oozing a bit. Went back to see it the next day, and unfortunately, despite trying again to clean up the wounds and give it more antibiotics a couple of days later, it didn't make it. But it is quite sad about the cow. It obviously has quite a big impact on the farmer. They don't have a huge number of cows. Cows are quite expensive. They're used for milk, making cheese, for breeding with yaks to make these other hybrid animal called a jobki. So that was sad and not a very good start to our patient caseload. We're hoping that we have more luck with our human patients.